Let's turn again to the 23rd Psalm and then get back to John 10 as we had this morning started off. But I love this Psalm, and I think we've heard so many messages from the 23rd Psalm, so it's not new. But maybe some of these old thoughts that have been brought out many times before will be refreshing to us again. We left off in the third verse, He restoreth my soul, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And we pointed out here how great this is, that it was for His name's sake. He leads them in the paths of righteousness. I failed to point out this morning about a little girl that had learned this psalm, and she said, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want anything. She added a little bit to it, but that's kind of a good translation, isn't it? I shall not want anything. And another little boy was told before he was dying, The Lord is my shepherd. And the preacher kept on going, The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And he kept on grabbing his thumb. The Lord is my, well, let's see. The Lord is my shepherd. I have to get it right. And as he did it, the preacher said, when you ask the Lord into your heart and you know He's your shepherd, you can grab a hold of that thumb and you can say, He's my shepherd. And when they found the little boy the next morning, there he was laying dead in the bed with his little hand around his thumb. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, they don't know if the little boy trusted the Lord or not, but what a sign to leave as the preacher gave to the little fellow. But as it says in the next verse, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now notice, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. One of the books, I can't remember which one it is, but one of the authors that was a shepherd that wrote on the 23rd Psalm, he pointed out that this verse really means not going through the valley of shadow of death as we think of it as dying, as a person is nearing death and going through the shadows of death in this manner, but rather it's speaking of a lamb going through the shadow of death, which was all around them. As the shepherd would lead them out, as you saw in that verse before, He restores my soul, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, in the paths where there is righteousness, where there's no danger, because He has taken away the danger. Now that's the kind of shepherd that we have, but He pointed out in His book that the shepherds of the East, as they lead their sheep many times through some of these dark places, down through a valley where the brush is thick in some areas, that the sheep are in danger of a little animal, such like a fox about that size or smaller, would come through the brush quickly and grab the little lamb or the sheep and destroy it. And he said, this is what is in the mind of David here, being a shepherd, leading the lamb, leading the sheep, through this valley of death, knowing that brush is all around and going down through this area, that he knows that death is lurking on every side. But he's a good shepherd. He watches the sheep carefully, that he guides them through this right path. He wouldn't take them through a path that he didn't know or he wasn't familiar with, because it would be danger to the sheep's life. He knows where he's going. He's leading them. He's not driving them. I'll never forget my brother one time being over in Africa during the Second World War. He said to me when he came back, as we were discussing the psalm one day, he said, Jim, one day over in Africa, I saw a funny sight. He said, I saw the shepherd driving the sheep. And I said to the fellow that was with me, he said, look at that funny shepherd. He's driving the sheep. And the fellow said, that's not the shepherd art. He said, that's the butcher. That was the difference. He was leading them to the butcher market to kill them. But the shepherd had left them into the hands of this man that had bought them to drive them to the market. But it wasn't the shepherd leading them. It was the butcher. He was driving them into the place of death. But here we notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Here there's the valley of shadow of death. They're going through that underbrush, through that thicket there. And the Lord is leading them. Death is on every side. You know, that's the way it is even with every one of us Christians. Paul said he died daily. And of course, that was to himself. And how we have to count this, that we might be alive to Christ, that we might be guided by Him. But here we see, he says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art there. He is with us every step of the way. He's one that sticketh closer than a brother. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thee forsake nor thee leave, never will I, as I repeated last Sunday. Notice what it says. in this verse. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's a comforting thing to think of a shepherd having a rod and a staff. Now, some of them say a rod was like a billy club that we know of today, what a policeman would carry, a hard stick where he could drive it into the head of an animal that was trying to destroy his sheep. Now, that was the club. But then he has a staff as well. He has a staff that with a crook on it where he can reach down when a little lamb gets off to the side and falls down the ledge. He can reach forth and bring that sheep back to himself. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know a comfort that we have protection with this shepherd. The shepherd does not just lead us out and let us go by ourselves, as we pointed out this morning. You can do that to cows, to grays, and other animals, but you can't let sheep find your own pasture. He has to lead them. He has to protect them. He has to watch over them. And this is the same sense that we get in the book of Acts. Let's turn to the book of Acts, as I mentioned this morning, the 20th chapter. And notice that 28th verse, as it's speaking to the elders, it says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here through the lips of the writer of the book of Acts, as it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost or the Holy Guest has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. What a responsibility elders have as shepherds to see that the church of God is protected, is fed, is taken to the right places, that they might be nourished in the things of God. And it's the shepherds that are protecting each individual. And I think this is sometimes that we see today, we don't find enough shepherding done in the flock of God throughout the church, because a lot of people don't have the shepherd's heart of protecting the little lambs, protecting the sheep, because a sheep is one that needs a lot of protection. And each child of God, each one of us need protection. That's why we should never forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is today, forsaking themselves and saying, I can live a Christian life alone. You can't. You need that Christian brother and sister fellowship, because you're a little sheep, and a little sheep can go astray by himself, but if he has somebody with him to guide him, he is more protected. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ, when he sent out his disciples, remember, he always sent them out by twos, that they wouldn't be destroyed by the enemy, that they wouldn't fall in the ditch. Who would help them out if they did? Well, he says, go by twos. And it's the same thing in Numbers. I'll never forget a boy. It was a bunch of girls standing outside of a chapel, and a dear servant of the Lord came up to this young fella, and he says, brother, he says, you're with all these girls. Oh, he says, preacher, he says, you know, there's safety in numbers, safety in numbers. The preacher said there's more safety in Exodus. And so the young fella got what he meant. He should exit out of the way from all those young ladies. But anyway, here it was a place of Exodus there. Here we notice that the shepherd leads through the valley of shadow of death, and we don't have to fear because he has a rod and he has a staff. A rod to protect and a staff to bring back. And how many of us sheep haven't gone astray and we've fallen off the cliff a little bit, and the good shepherd comes and brings us back? Well, you know, bringing into the life of any shepherd, any Christian that's a shepherd of the flock of God, this is what is needed today. When we see the sheep start to wander and we start to see them missing services, a good shepherd would say, well, hey, wait a minute, we got to get over there. I'll never forget back home, we had a dear man by the name of Mr. Upton. He was an elderly man all of my life. It seemed like he was always old, but he was very reverenced the man. He was a very godly man, and he visited all the city of Minneapolis. I think he went over the city of Minneapolis twice before he moved to Michigan to the rest home there of Peter Pell. But he was a dear man of God, and he had a little beard, a little mustache, a little goatee-like thing out here, you know. And I was scared to death of him. But he was so godly, he just reminded me of God as I was a boy. If there's anybody godly, it was this man. But you know, once in a while my dad would play hooky from the chapel and go down and hear some speaker at some other church somewhere. Well, that dear brother, he's on our porch the next morning. Brother Redling, where were you, you know? A good shepherd, he never let the sheep go astray. He had never let him get off any place. If you went visiting somewhere, he'd find out why you weren't there. And he'd always put down his glasses and look over the audience like this, you know, see who was there at the Lord's table. We always sat in a circle. And so he'd sit right up in front looking over all the flock. You know, that's the kind of brethren we need today. He never missed a one. If you missed, boy, he was there at your house, finding out why you weren't there, giving you a lecture why you should have been there, why you shouldn't have been where you were. But that's the kind of shepherd that we were under. I'll never forget the night I told the brethren I wanted to be baptized and so on. He saw me at the back of the chapel. I was over here standing one Sunday school morning and just before I was going to get baptized that night. And of course, he wanted to talk to me. The others had talked to me. And I saw him and I wanted to get away. I thought, oh, he's coming. Is he after me? You know, that little goatee and that smile and say, he's come right for me. Cornered me in the corner. Jimmy, I'm glad you're going to be baptized. Oh, boy. Yes, sir, Mr. Upton. Yes, sir. I wanted to get away. But, you know, he just put his arms around me and hugged me as a good shepherd. And I'll never forget that hug. I didn't know much about baptism at that time. I probably didn't realize the step that I was taking, although I was saved and very young and bashful. But, you know, what a wonderful time it was when I went down in that water and I came up. And I realized I was risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above. But to have a shepherd to watch over the sheep. Now that's the kind of shepherd we need. But you know, this shepherd that we had in our home assembly, he also seemed to kind of use a club on us. And a lot of times he'd use a staff on us. And this is what is needed today, is men with shepherd's heart. Not men with a butcher's heart, but men with a shepherd heart. To love the sheep, to be sure that when they're in trouble, that they get taken care of. Notice the fifth verse. We could go on in that verse, but notice the fifth one. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, a lot of people, when they see this verse, in this part of the psalm, they say, well, this is way out of context, because what does it mean, preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy? It just sounds like you're feeding, like David's talking about a different realm completely, but no, he's the shepherd's heart. It's the shepherd's talking about the sheep. Thou preparest a table before me. And this man went on in the book that he said that preparing a table, a shepherd in the east, he goes before the sheep. And as he goes before the sheep, he leads them to the field. But before he lets the sheep just go in and graze, he'll stop them. And he goes over the field and he looks on the grassy plain wherever he can see, because there's little animals and there's snakes out there. And he said this little animal grabs a hold of the sheep's nose and hurts them. And the snakes are there to bite the little lambs and the sheep. And so he literally prepares that table before they eat. He goes over it to be sure that all of the enemies are there. You notice, thou preparest the table in the presence of mine enemies. The enemies are still there, but he's a good shepherd. He doesn't say, okay, sheep, here you are, I've done my duty, I led you to the grass. No, he prepares further for them, not only leads them safely to the place to eat, but then after he leads them to the place, he prepares that table that they can eat in safety and be calm and not be afraid of the animals that are around them. He prepares the table in the presence of their enemies. And notice, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And again, as we get back to John 10 in a moment, we will notice in that verse that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm the good shepherd, and he says he's the door as well. Now, it's hard to be a door and a shepherd, isn't it? But as you go over in some of these flocks in the east, they claim that the sheepfold was nothing but just a bunch of grass kind of piled along, maybe so high, maybe 4 feet or so high that they might have it up or bales of hay around. And there was a door, and the only door was just another bundle of hay. But the real door wasn't that bundle of hay. That was only put there when the shepherd wanted to leave the sheep in safety for a few moments. But the real door was the shepherd himself. And yet, he was a good shepherd, and yet he was the door. And where it says here, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over, as he stood there and as the sheep came up, he wouldn't allow them into the fold, into the enclosure, until they passed through him. Each sheep would have to come to the shepherd. They couldn't get in and go by without going by the shepherd. And he then would run his hands over them and look at them. And notice what it says. He anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. They tell us that the shepherds of the east, they had the cup of oil there, and if a sheep had been grazing that day and been bitten or had a bruise or had run into a thorny patch, the shepherd would take the oil and anoint that hurt spot, and then he had that cup that overrun. He would take down his horn and he'd put it into that bucket of water that he had, and he'd fill it up, and when he'd bring it up out of that bucket, the cup would be running over. That horn would be running over with water, and he'd put it to the lips of the little sheep or the lamb that was there. And it could run over. My cup runneth over. The shepherd's cup was running over. He had just dipped it down and got fresh water for that tired sheep. You see what a great shepherd he is. My head, he anointeth my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy, it says in that sixth verse, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now here we get security. And you get security again in the 10th chapter of John. I don't know if we'll get into it tonight, but notice, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And notice here, somebody has brought out, and I don't know where I got this from, but I heard it somewhere, and it comes to my mind when I'm speaking here. Surely goodness and mercy. Somebody has said they're the two dogs that are with the shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for a few days. No, it's forever, isn't it? The security of being with the Lord. It's not for just a few days or a few months, but it's forever. And we have the goodness of God with us. Now, I didn't mean to spend that much time on a 23rd Psalm, but I really wanted to spend my time in the 10th chapter of John, but I just wanted to just whet your appetite a little bit there on that psalm. What a great psalm it is to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice in the fourth verse of the 10th chapter of John, it says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think of the saints of God. Dear lady was telling me, she was in a place, she said, you know, I'm in a desert. I'm in a desert, and I need a drink of good spiritual water. And I said, well, don't you have any good fellowships around your place, isn't it? Don't you have a nice church fellowship around? She says, no. She says, you know, I've been to everyone. And she says, it's nothing there. She said, I don't hear the voice. Isn't it strange that a believer, the person has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, can detect if a believer is preaching? You know the voice, because it's the same voice of the Spirit of God. I'll never forget, young in life, just preaching, and I had gotten a message together. In fact, it was a message that Brother Swartz had got saved through. You probably remember that, sister, when your father got saved. I'll never forget that day. And there's so many people right down here in the chapel. You remember, I walked into the room and dealt with them, and he professed to be saved. And when I walked out, everybody was in tears. And I didn't know that they'd been praying for him so long. But it was on John 21, and you know, I just thought that I'd gotten that message from the Lord. But it wasn't long after that I was up at the Blue Ridge Conference, and one of our famous speakers were there, and he got up and he said, I'm going to preach on John 21. And I said, oh boy, this is something I got from the Lord. Now, he hasn't got what I got, you know, and he started dishing out. Well, it sounded like he had heard me, and I said, now wait a minute, where did he get that stuff from? I thought I was the only one that had that. And I started listening and getting interested, you know, in his message, and I said, I can't believe it, that's the thought that I had. And so on and so forth, and I started to sweat. I said, if anybody hears this message, they're going to think I stole it from him, because I'm the younger brother, but I didn't get it from him. And then it dawned on me, we've got the same teacher, the same Holy Spirit of God. The same one that revealed it to me, revealed it to him. It was the same word. It was the one we hear, the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to us, and nothing is our own. I don't think anybody can claim a message. A lot of times, you know, you hear a brethren say, well, now that's my own message, and I don't want anybody to use it. Well, I don't know. Is it your own message? Have any of us got our own message? Haven't we heard everything that we got from somebody else? Where have we really got it from? I'll never forget Brother Stan Ford one time telling me about Leonard Phillips, John Phillips' father.
Turn the tape over, please. Thank you.
He said, Leonard Phillips gave a choice morsel at the Lord's Supper. And Brother Ford went off with Brother Phillips on the way home. He said, can I walk with you, Leonard, home? And he said, yes. And he said, Brother Ford said to Leonard Phillips, he said, Brother Phillips, he said, that was tremendous that you gave to us at the Lord's Supper this morning. I've never heard anything like it. Anyway, Leonard Phillips was talking with Stan, and he said, Stan, I don't know. I don't know. Here you're giving this wonderful word at the Lord's table. Stan said, well, what do you mean you don't know? He says, you know, he says, I have a photographic mind. He says, anything I read is mine. He says, Stan, I don't know where I got it from. Wouldn't you like to have that trouble? Wouldn't you like to have, I don't know where I got it from. He says, I don't know if it's mine or if it's somebody else's. Well, you know, I'm sure that all of us, where do we get it from? We hear a little bit here and we hear a little bit there, and the Lord puts it all together, and we say it's our message. Is it ours? God gave it. And it's God's message. It really belongs to Him. But you know, as you think here in this portion, how great it is that the Lord Jesus Christ, it says the voice, notice in that first verse, and He putteth forth His own, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. We can tell when a message is from God because we hear His voice speaking to us. Have you ever been in a service and you didn't think you were going to get spoken to, and the next thing you knew, you were really spoken to, and God had dealt with you in a mighty way? What a great way it is to hear the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to our heart through lips that we might not have thought would give us anything. Never forget a young fellow in Sanford got up and opened up the Word of God. You know, here we've been preaching for quite a while now, and yet, you know, I just thought, well, it'd be something like, and what came out of that young fellow's mouth, I still wonder where in the world he got it from. I never heard anything like that. But then I had to say, well, I'm not going to ask him. He got it from the Lord, and if he got it from some other book that he read, well, praise God. He passed it on. He was rejoicing in his soul where he got it from. And you know, I never went up to him and said, brother, where'd you get that from? Because I just wanted to count it from the Lord. He got it from the Lord. And if he got it from somebody else, I don't know. But I know this, it really blessed my soul, and he hadn't been saved too long. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to hear the voice of God speak through somebody that you don't expect to speak through. How many times haven't our sisters just given a verse of scripture or said something to a brother preacher somewhere like Priscilla and Aquila did? They spoke to the apostle and straightened him out in some of the things that he needed to be helped in. But they did it quietly. And how many sisters haven't taken one aside? And even myself, I think of dear Sister Tafner. Some of you knew Mr. Tafner. How many times she would just say to me, Jim, come on over to the house. And in her sweet way would just bring out a little verse of scripture for comfort and for guidance. She was really a little shepherd, and she was a woman in this respect, never taking the authority or anything of the brethren, but just a wonderful way to help the servants of God, to give out a little word of encouragement when she saw that maybe you were downhearted. But you know, it says he goeth before his sheep. He's never behind them. He goes before. He's leading. Now you notice the next thing, and a stranger will they not follow. Now sometimes we have to ask ourselves a question about this verse. I know I do. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, sometimes we see people that we thought were saved, and the first thing we know, somebody comes up with a better avenue, and all of a sudden, these people would go away, and they seem to follow after a stranger. Well, are they really the sheep of the fold? Are they really the Lord's sheep? Not saying that every person that leaves the assembly isn't one of the Lord's. I realize that a lot of people come sometimes into our fellowship. And one time I was speaking in a fellowship and some had left and I didn't realize, and I made a similar statement like I just made, and everybody thought I was preaching and saying those that had left weren't saved because they had gone to another assembly. And I got myself in a little trouble, but I didn't mean that at all. I didn't mean that at all. But you know, a lot of times people, if they're not following the shepherd, if a stranger comes along, if they're not following the Lord, a stranger can take them from us. Because they don't know the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the real sheep, they hear the voice, and that's what they're listening for. They're listening for the voice of the shepherd to guide them and to direct them. They don't go somewhere else because they've got the voice of the shepherd, and they're listening to his voice. And I tried this out. My nephew, he is a shepherd in Minnesota. In fact, I think he's out of the shepherd business right now and in the pig business, and I think he wishes he was back in the shepherd business. But he was a shepherd of sheep. And I went up to his farm one time in Minnesota, and I was looking at the sheep. And I said, do you know them? Oh, he says, I know everyone by name. I said, honest Don Dia. And he says, I really do. I said, how can you tell them apart? They just look like sheep to me. They're all woolly, they all look cuddly and all the rest, but to me, I can't tell one from the other. Oh, he said, I'll call him. He called one, and one come over, and he said, I'll call that one there. He called him by name. Each one would come. But you know, I said, let me try to call him by name. And so he went a little ways away, and they went away too, and I tried to call him. Boy, those sheep just took a run. You know, they didn't hear my voice. I might call him by name, but I was calling him with a different tone than he had, and I tried to mock him, but they wouldn't listen to my voice. They knew the shepherd's voice, and he could call them, and they would come. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see that the shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. And this is the thing that's the secret of today. If a person is really born again of the Spirit of God, they will know the shepherd, and they will know the voice of the Spirit of God. And you know, many times, sometimes we're sitting in an audience, and somebody gives something out in doctrine, and the people say, hey, you know, that didn't sound right to me. Now, sometimes the sheep are maybe a little critical, and they maybe didn't understand what the person said. But a lot of times the sheep are right, and maybe the brother has said something that isn't quite correct according to Scripture. And then the brethren have to look into it. But you know, sometimes the sheep find it because they're waiting for the voice of the Son of God to speak to them. Notice the next part. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. You know, it's a lot of things that comes before the Lord, but the sheep are safely sheltered in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't hear the robbers. We don't hear the thieves. You know, a lot of times a father in a house hears something. And the other night I was in the chapel here, and I heard some noise about 2:30. It woke me up. I came straight out of that bed. I didn't know if somebody's in the chapel or what. But I wanted to be prepared. I sure didn't want to be caught with the covers over me and somebody getting advantage of me. But I heard some noise about 2:15 to 2:30 in the morning. And I came out of that bed, and Margaret heard it too. Somebody sounded like they hit the back door back there. I wanted to find out if they were coming in. I wanted to be prepared, I'll tell you that. That kind of morning, I'm not expecting the brethren to see me. If you come in, you better watch out. You know, we got to protect ourselves. But I wanted to be awakened. But you know, I walked in the room there and listened and waited. And evidently, somebody just must have taken a big rock and thrown it against the building or against the door or something. But I didn't hear anything after that. But I waited. But you know, all through that time, Tina didn't hear a thing. She wasn't awakened. And you know, it's just like the little sheep, aren't they? The sheep don't hear because the shepherd is attending to it. A lot of times in our families, a father will get up and walk through the whole house. He's heard some noise, or a mother hears a child cough, and maybe sometimes a father doesn't even hear it, but the mother hears that cry because she loves that little child. She'll get up and attend to it. But you know, sometimes the rest of the family doesn't even hear. It's the same thing here. You know, all that came before him were thieves and robbers, always trying to find some other way. They didn't want to come in by the door. And that's why he brings out the next time, I am the door. I am the door. You know, and he brings it out in powerful words, by me, if any man enter in. And there you get that shepherd again, standing in front of the sheepfold. He's the door. Nobody can enter in unless they go through the shepherd. And nobody can come into God's household, into the fold of God's household, until they come through the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. They have to go through him. I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall, now notice this, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. The reason that he can find those pastures is because he's got a good shepherd. He can go out with the shepherd and he can come back in. Go in and out. The shepherd is always with them. He's the door. He's the one that's leading them. He's the one that's going in and out with them. And they find pastures because they know the shepherd of the sheep. And then he says in the next verse, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Notice the next words. I am the good shepherd. What kind of life does he give to us, beloved? Notice. That they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We not only have life, but we have abundant life. We have life that will never end. But just think, there's a lot of people that are ready to die tonight. Some will be slipping into eternity. And they'll be going into death forever. They won't have any more life. You and I will have life forever. We have abundant life. Life that will never end. Though we close our eyes down here in death to the people, we're more alive than we were before. Wasn't it D.L. Moody that said, don't mourn for me when I pass away because I'm going to be more alive then than I am now. He realized the abundant life that he had in Christ, that he's going to live forever. Not just for a week, not just for a month, but he's going to have a life that wouldn't decay, a life that wouldn't deteriorate. Every one of us, when we've been born, since we've been born, we've been decaying little by little. When I was just a little fella, my teeth came in and I got some more teeth. And the first thing you know, I sat in that dentist chair, and I've been sitting in that dentist chair ever since, trying to keep these teeth. But after all these years, I still have my own teeth. But I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for a lot of that silver filling and all the platinum filling and everything else that they stuck in it, I wouldn't have much teeth. But I've been decaying. I'm decaying little by little. I'm getting older and a little bit more decayed every day, but you know, I'm going to have abundant life. I'm going to live forever, and I'm going to get a body, and I'm going to get teeth and all the rest, because I imagine we're going to have teeth up there, because you know, it says we're going to have a supper, and you can't eat without teeth unless you gum it. So the Lord has given us teeth down here, so I'm sure we're going to have teeth up there. Sometimes we forget to look at these things. But beloved, it's going to be a wonderful thing to see this body decaying and know we're going to have abundant life. And who gives it to us? Well, it's this good shepherd. This good shepherd, he says, I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. And the reason that we have eternal life is because he gave his life that our life might be spared. And that we may have life more abundantly. You know, I wish I could get into the rest of the chapter, but our time is just about gone. And you know, as you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, of all that he knew that was before him, as I was thinking this thought went through my mind during the Lord's Supper, of the Lord Jesus Christ knew all things that would befall him, all the suffering, all the shame, that which you talked about at the garden this morning of Gethsemane, he knew all those things. And you know, beloved, when you know something's going to happen to you, you don't want to go through with it. But he was a good shepherd. He knew that his life was going to be taken from him, but he loved his own. He says, I'm going to go through with it. As we mentioned this morning, in our prayer, I believe it was. I don't believe it was in the message, but I mentioned in my prayer this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. God could have repented. He could have said, no, I'm not going to let him go through, but he let him go through it. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And he's there for us now. And what a great thing it is that the Lord Jesus Christ, this good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the great shepherd, was one that knew everything that was going to befall him, but he was willing to do it because he wanted you and me for his very own. You know, in the next part of the chapter, he tells about the hireling. He tells about laying down his life, and maybe if the Lord does not come, that maybe the next time I come, we can get into that part. You notice in the 11th verse, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Our shepherd never leaves the sheep. He's always with us. Isn't it great to be united to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that loves us and gave himself for us, and realize that he's the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd, he's the chief shepherd, and he's my shepherd. And I hope he's your shepherd. Father, again we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one we have loved so much because he loved us first. We didn't deserve to be saved, Father. We deserve the pit of hell. We don't deserve all the green pastures that we've been feeding in. We don't deserve all the still waters that we've been brought by. And where, Father, our cup runneth over, and surely when he has given us to drink out of that cup, how refreshing it has been. And yet how we fail the shepherd, how we are disobedient to the shepherd. And yet he loves us. He's tender with us and cares for us. And Father, may we just think of this good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd, that we might be drawn close to our Savior, and we might be one that is a witness for thee, that others might come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those that accepted thee this week, that Father, that they might learn about the good shepherd, and the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd, that they might be drawn close to him. And we pray for the saints here, that thou would bless them and be with them, and guide each family. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
If we sing in closing number 700, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way, while we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust him of him.